Reading from chapter 6 of Jagadharma. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Jnana Timarandasya Dhananjana Shalakaya. Aksuran Mulatam Yena Asmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Anshatopa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayebhya Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, greetings from the Bhakti Center, reading chapter 6 of Jagadharma. I'm going to mention something a little bit, because I know on Wednesday there's less people. Although it's interesting that wherever I go, even yoga studios, people are coming up to me. Well, it happened twice, which is nice, you know, that I'm listening to your podcast. So a lot of people are listening to these things, and that naturally enlivens me to speak, but you know, Kadamba Mala sent me a note this morning that one of our dearest Sangha members passed away, I think yesterday, Mother Indrani. I think she was 86. And very beloved Vaishnavi. So many people remember her. I'm almost amazed how many people are coming up to me and saying, she passed away, and, you know, mature, deep spirituality, pure, loving heart. It's just so rare in this world, you know. And the fact also that she was elder, and, you know, there really weren't people of her generation, you know. There really weren't people of her generation, so... And maybe I'll tell the stories of me taking her around Govardhan Hill. Never forget that. I'll tell it more, but her by Govardhan Hill, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord, just so beautiful. And she was a regular for 7 years hearing the Sanghas. And so I called up Ekavira, you know, asked him if anything's going on, even if there was a something her in her honor, I could contribute something or something like that. Anyway, everyone, please, please, please offer our dearest and deepest prayers that she may be with her Lord. That would be such a wonderful thing. And I understand she was surrounded by kirtan, and so we're up to the section of Jagadharma. We're following this Lahari Mahasai, who was from an aristocratic Samindar, landowner, wealthy family, and Brahmin family, aristocratic, and, you know, he's has grown-up sons, so obviously he's elderly. And somehow or other in Gojrum Dweep, his Krishna consciousness becomes fully awakened in association with Vaishnav Das, the former Sannyas Thakur. Mahavadi Sannyasi became a devotee, so he's kind of a very qualified person, disciple of Prem Das Babaji. And we're following kind of, it's kind of like a, I can't say like a serial, but there's, you know, there's different, you know, it's the courage is the setting, you know, and different people are coming and we're learning, as I mentioned before, according to who they are, there are different doubts to consciousness. So, anyway, but the last scene is that descendants of Chankazi come to visit. And they're Vaishnavas because they're Muslims, but they're Vaishnavas. This Muslim means surrender to God. And the Chankazi was enlightened by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to understand that that's really what the message of the Quran is. Although they mentioned it, said the Sufis were Mayavadis. They didn't really understand. You know, we're not Sufis, we're not Mayavadis. So. But, you know, we understand from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That, you know, Lahari was, you know, explaining each word and how it actually corresponded to the Jiva and all these things, and somehow. And that's the problem with people trying to understand scripture. You have to have a teacher. Otherwise, you project your own conditioning on what you hear. And you get caught up in not understanding the context of what's spoken, and therefore not understanding what's spoken or the language. And there's so many factors. No, because scripture is dealing with different types of consciousness. Sometimes it's dealing with different ones simultaneously. And, you know, saying something indirectly but meaning the truth or stressing something in a particular time. And, you know, it cuts on so many different levels and to so many different people. You know, and certain things are too high or esoteric, so they have to be hinted at. You know, there's so many things going on. So unless someone knows the scriptures, realized it, heard it from someone who realized it, has some hermeneutical sense, you know, to really get beyond just the externals and understand the internal meaning, you can miss it. But anyway, what had happened is Devi Das, also known as Vidyaratna, the son of Lahari, he had come to try to convince his father to come back home in various ways. And not very successful. And he was doing it quite well until he saw this, the Vaishnavas associated with the Muslims. You know? And, you know, and somehow they say sometimes mostly, well, you can understand the Mughals conquer India and then, you know, convert people by just sprinkling water on them, and you know, so there's a lot of animosity, and especially among the Brahmin caste, and yeah. So what?
He brings the Brahmins to the
baby. You remember? Okay, good memory. Yes. Yeah, so what happens is he's so upset. Because it just was not within his frame of reference that the Vaishnavas can be appreciating the Muslims. You know, in this case, that he brings the Brahmins to debate with him. Now we're like in the midst of the debate. So Chudamani, that's the learned Brahmin who's the head of the Brahmins, had come to debate. And they're not Vaishnavas. They're smarter Brahmins. So Chudamani raises the first objecting by asking, is Jati, caste, Nitya, invariable? Are the Hindus and Muslims not different castes? Do the Hindus not become fallen by associating with Muslims? Vaishnav Das Babaji replied, according to the Nyaya Shastra, Jati, a term that refers to birth, is invariable. Can't be changed. However, the Jati Bhed, the distinction between castes, mentioned there does not refer to the difference of caste among human beings born in different countries. term refers to the difference of species, such as that which is found between cows, goats, and human beings. Chudamani, yes, what you say is quite true. But does that mean that there is no Jati Bhed caste distinctions between Hindus and Muslims? Vaishnav Das, yes, there is a distinction between castes, but that type of jati is not eternal. Human beings have only one jati, which in this case means species. Within the human species, many different jatis, castes, have been invented based on the differences of language, country, style of dress, and skin color. So this is, again, this is like the essence always. The essence of Krishna consciousness is that religion is not a faith, it's the nature of the soul, which is the servant of God. And that's the Nitya Dharma. It's stressed. You see, when something's important, it's stressed again and again. That is the Nitya Dharma. And if we want to advance in Krishna consciousness, we have to embrace the Nitya Dharma. We have to surrender to Krishna, both in big choices and small choices. But that doesn't mean that we have to renounce all attachments or renounce all sense gratification. It means that we have to please God. And that has to do a lot with what who we are and what our level of evolution is. But what it means is we have to do what God wants. And if we're Grihastha, then we have to have affection to our family. And if we're, a Vaishya, we make money. So there's not like, again, that point is, it's very interesting. In Vaishnavism, you can have attachments. But the difference between that and materialists is, they're insignificant. But you know they're not eternal. And they're not significant, but on the other hand, you know that you need them for Krishna consciousness. So again, he's saying this, yes, there's a difference between people in different social stations. But that type of jati is not eternal. The jati of Chudamani, is there no difference in terms of birth? Or does the difference between Hindus and Muslims consist of nothing more than the difference of clothing and other such things? This guy, he's like a magician. So he's getting into the thing. Vaishnavas, Jivas are born at the higher or lower of honors or castes according to their previous karma. And in congruity with their varnas, they are eligible for different types of births. That's obvious. There's a mother and a father that are incredible, noble kshatriyas. And the person with previous karma that deserves that gets born into that. Suchinam Srimatam Gehe Yoga Rashtapajayate. That's all in yogis and you could be aristocrat. So there's obviously, it's not an absolute, especially it's not an absolute now with this Vana Sankara. But in that time where the social system was more fixed, according to karma, people would be born in different situations. But it's still, because karma is a little complicated, it wasn't an absolute principle. So a kshatriya could become a Brahmin. Vaishnavas, Jivas are born, Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Sudras are the four Varnas. All others are Antyaja, which means they are born, low born, and outside of the caste system. Chidamani, are the Muslims not outcasts? Vaishnav Das, yes, according to the Shastra, they are outside the jurisdiction of the four Varnas. Chidamani, then how can Muslims be Vaishnavas and how can respectable Vaishnavas associate with them? Vaishnav Das, Vaishnavas are those who have pure bhakti. And all human beings are candidates of Vaishnav Dharma. Muslims are not eligible to perform the duties prescribed to different varnas, the varnashram, because their birth disqualifies them. However, they have every right to participate in the practices of bhakti. One can never say that he knows the actual purport of the shastras, till he has minutely examined the subtle differences between karma kanda, jnana kanda, and bhakti kanda. So Vaishnav Das says this is a little subtle. It's a little subtle. Okay, the general principle is by your birth in that kind of social system that was functioning, you know, the people are generally disqualified from different things. But bhakti is not based on your body. Bhakti is based on your soul. And every soul is equal. Again, that's why bhakti is so beautiful. It's just it's no material qualification. It's based on what your soul is. Chudamani, very well, when one performs one prescribed karma, the heart is gradually purified so that one becomes eligible to gyan. Amongst the gyanis, some are nirbhay Brahmavadis, whose idea is to merge into the undifferentiated and personal Brahman, while others are Vaishnavas, who accept the personal form of Bhagavan, possessing transcendental attributes. Savi Sheshavad. According to this progression, one cannot become a Vaishnava without first completing one's eligibility for karma. Muslims are not eligible to even perform the prescribed karma within the Varna system because they are outcasts. So how can they become eligible for bhakti? What? That's good. Vaishnav, I thought you were taking notes. You got really excited about one of the ideas. Okay. Alex now will have someone with me, so I'll always have someone to speak to that's here, which is kind of nice, although I have that sense of the audience. So, he's saying, Chidamani, that, you know, karma qualifies you for meditation and spiritual and deeper things. So whether it's Nivrishesh Brahman or Savishesh Vada, whether you've gone or that. So according to that, to come to the, you know, the point of Gan, you know, you have to be, finish your karma. So Muslims can't even perform that. How will they become purified? Vaishnav Das, outcast human beings have every right to practice bhakti. All the shastras accept this, and Srihari himself stated in the Bhagavad Gita, 9:32, Mam hi partha vipassanitya ye pisyo, apayonias yo vaishastata shujas te pihantiva. The son of Pritha, women, Vaishyas, Sujas, and long-born people have taken birth. Simple families can take the supreme destination by taking shelter of it. So it's not a material qualification. In fact, sometimes when you lack material qualification, it's better because then you can become more humble.
Oh, yeah.
Here the word ashritya, taking shelter, refers to bhakti. This is collaborated in the Skanda Purana. So bhakti means taking shelter. Shelter, sharanagata, doesn't mean surrender. It means more where you go for your shelter, where you really feel you will be protected. And the ultimate protection is your consciousness and your love, which requires a worthy object of love, which is real, eternal, dear, and close to the heart. That can give you shelter. So bhakti means one who has understood this and therefore has done this. Whatever for that relationship was ever favorable, was not favorable, you give up. You embrace the relationship, which is one of humility. You give everything to that relationship. And in that relationship, you feel completely maintained and protected. So he's making these points. So he says this taking shelter refers to bhakti, and anyone can take shelter if there is a shelter giver who is merciful. Tamanya shatyo vaisha shudo va yare vetara vishnu bhakti shama yukto gaya sarvartama sisa. Kashikanda 2163, quoting Hari Bhakti Vilas. Whether one is a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, or even an outcast, he has taken shelter of Vishnu Bhakti, is considered to be superior. Because all this other stuff of the caste system and the social system is only meant to bring you to this.
Yes.
To the self, which is consciousness, which is part of God, which is meant to surrender. It is said in the Naradiya Purana, Swapacho, Di Mahapala, Vishnu Bhakto, Zijadika, Vishnu Bhakti, Vihino, Yo, Yatascha, Swapachadika. Quote in Hari Bhakti Las, okay, a devotee of Sri Vishnu is better than a Brahmin. Even if he's born in a family of dog eaters, where a sannyasi who is devoid of Vishnu Bhakti is even more wretched than a dog eater and a chandala.
That's one of
the extraordinary points. Yeah, one of the six. Right. That's one of the... Chudamani, you may give many questions from Shastra as evidence, but it's important to see what is the underlying principle in this consideration. How can the defect of degraded birth be removed? Can a defect relating one's birth be removed without being taken another birth? Vaishnava, the defect of a degraded birth is the result of prarabdha karma, previous activities that began to bear fruit in this life. And this prarabdha karma can be destroyed by the name of Sri Hari. The proof of this is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 6:16:44. Yadnama sakrit shravanat upkrisho vivimuchite samsara. Even a low-born dog eater can be delivered from material existence simply by hearing your holy name. It's also stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 6:246. Not the param karma nabandha krintanam amuksha satam tirtapa padanu kirtanat nayat punakarma su sachate mano rajastam obhyam alilam tato nyata. Those who desire liberation from the bondage of material existence have no means of rooting out sin except by the chanting of the holy name of Sri Hari, who sanctifies even the holy places by the mere touch of his lotus feet. The reason is that when one performs non-sankirtan, the mind does not become attached to karma again. whereas one practices any means of atonement, the mind is again contaminated by the material qualities of passion and ignorance, since the tendency to commit sin have not been destroyed at the root. The tendency to commit sin, the root of it, is the desire to be separate from God, the desire not to surrender, the desire not to be a devotee. So you get so many reactions, so you can clear the reactions by certain atonement, but you don't unroot that desire. The reason why bhakti is so powerful, because it's antithetical to the root desire that causes material existence. Bhakti deals with the root, not the symptoms, not the causes. Bhakti deals with the root. Again, in the Srimad Bhagavatam stated, this is an incredibly powerful verse, 33:7. Aho bhatasva pachato gariyan yajiva gre vartate nam matukyam de pustapaste juhavus nasna arya mamanuchur namagranantiyate. Oh, what more can be said about the greatness of a person who chants the holy name of Sri Hari? A person whose tongue utters your holy name is superior to all, even if he has taken birth in a family of dog eaters. His brahminical status has already been established in his previous birth. Those fortunate jivas who chant Sri Harinam have already undergone austerities, performed fire sacrifices, bathed at the holy places, followed the rules of proper conduct, and thoroughly studied the Vedas. That verse, Aho Bhatacha, Swapatoji, it's hanging. Jivagre means in the tongue, hanging once. That's all. If it's the real name, only once. And it says this is a family dog, it means they eat dog. Chidamani, then why is it that a chandala who chants Harinam is barred from performing yajnas and other rabbinical activities? Vaishnava, one must take in a Brahmin family to perform yajnas and other such activities. And even if one is who is born in a Brahmin family must be purified by the ceremony of investiture with a sacred thread before he is eligible to perform the duties of a Brahmin. Similarly, a chandala may have become purified by taking a Harinam, but he's still not eligible to perform yajna until he acquires seminal birth in the Brahmin family. However, he can perform the limbs of bhakti, which are infinitely greater than yajnas. So, you know, we have priests and from all kinds of families and different things. But in this kind of system, see, bhakti doesn't mean that he's up. He's elevated in the modes. It means he's surrendered to Krishna. So that kind of requirement and things, it was social system was kind of based at that time, even at the time of Bhaktivedanta Thakur. So he said, however, he can perform the yajnas of bhakti. What kind of philosophy? So Chudamani, what kind of conclusion is that? You're not qualified for this, but then all of a sudden you're qualified for something higher. You're not qualified to do yajnas, but you're qualified to do something higher. And that's, again, the same point. Because the qualification is not material. It's a qualification of heart. And that's the highest qualification, which is bhakti. Chidamani, what kind of conclusion is that? How can a person who is disqualified from an ordinary privilege be qualified for something that is much higher? Is there any conclusive evidence? When you can't do something ordinary, how can you do something superior? Vaishnavdas. There are two types of human activity. The material activities that relate to practical existence, vyavaharika, and spiritual activities that relate to the ultimate truth, paramattika. So this is going to be the division, the spiritual activities and material activities. And by definition, spiritual activities don't have material qualification. It's some other qualification. So if you say a person's not qualified for this, he may not have the material qualification, but he can have the spiritual qualification. You see it. Someone may be very motive goodness devotee, but there may be someone who's not, but he's a better devotee. Mm-hmm. Because the person, Brahmin, he may be more brahminical, but he may be proud. It's different types of sukriti. You could have a lot of jnana sukriti, you have bhakti sukriti, you could have bhakti sukriti, but not have jnana sukriti. Or not much of it, or not a lot of it. Vaishnav Das. So he said, what kind of qualification? Is there an inclusion? How can a person, Chudamani, who is disqualified from an ordinary privilege, be qualified to something that's much higher? Is there any conclusive evidence? Vaishnav Das, there are two types of human activity. Material activities that relate, okay, to practical, vyavaharika and paramatika. A person may have attained spiritual qualification, but that doesn't necessarily qualify him for particular material activity. For example, one who is a Muslim by birth may have acquired the nature and all the qualities of a Brahmin, so that he's a Brahmin from the spiritual point of view, but he still remains ineligible for certain material activities, such as marrying the daughter of a Brahmana. It's hard for us to understand this platform, but just go back 500 years ago in India before there was Facebook and all these things, and you know, the castes were more rigid. Vaishnava, he said, why is that? What is wrong if he does? Chudamani. It's nice. What is wrong if he does? Vaishnava Das, if one violates social customs, one is guilty of secular impropriety. Members of society who take pride in their social respectability do not condone such activities. That is why one should not perform them, even if he's spiritually God, because they're closing the service. There's a social system. It functions in certain ways. Chudamani, please tell me what is the cause of eligibility for karma, and what is the cause of the eligibility for bhakti. Vaishnava, the cause of eligibility for karma is one's nature, birth, and other such yavaharika practical causes that make one suitable for a particular type of work. The source of eligibility for bhakti is tattvika shraddha, faith that is rooted in the absolute truth. Chudamani, don't try to intimidate me with the language of the Vedanta. Explain clearly what you mean by tat-tat karma yoga svabhava, because he said the eligibility for karma caused one for suitable work, which is tat-tat karma yoga svabhava janma. He said, don't confuse me with the language of Vedanta. Clearly explain what you mean by tat-tat karma yoga svabhava. Vaishnav, the qualities that are found in the nature of Brahman are shama, control of the senses, dhamma, control of the mind, tapa, austerity, saucha, purity, santosha, satisfaction, shama, forgiveness, sarulata, simplicity, isha, bhakti, devotion to Bhagavan, daya, mercy, and sattva, truthfulness. Natural qualities of a kshatriya are tejas, prowess, bala, physical strength, dhriti, resoluteness, saurya, heroism, titiksha, tolerance, udarata, magnanimity, udyama, perseverance, dhirata, gravity, ramanyata, devotion to the Brahmins, and aishvarya, opulence. Qualities that characterize the Vaishnavas are Astikya, theism, Dana, charity, Nishtha, faith, Adambikata, absence of pride, and Artha, Trishna, eagerness to accumulate wealth. The natural qualities of Sudra are Vijaya Guru Deva Seva, service to the Brahmins, cows, and celestial deities, and Yata Labha Santosh, satisfaction with whatever is obtained. Qualities in the nature of an Antyaja, outcast, or Asaucham, uncleanliness, Mitya, dishonesty, Charya, thievery, Nastikata, atheism, Vritta Kalaha, feudal quarreling, Kama, lust, Krodha, anger, and Indra Triska, anchoring to satisfy the senses. The Shastra prescribes that one's vana should be determined according to these different natures. The determination of vana on the basis of birth is a recent practice. An individual's inclination for a specific type of work and his expertise in it are both related to these natures. So the type of work you do and the expertise in it is determined by these natures. A person's nature gives rise to his inclination and taste for particular activities. And it is this particular nature, swabhav, that is known as the nature according to specific types of work. Tat, tat, karma, yoga, swabhav. So according to your swabhav, your nature, you're inclined for a particular type of work. And therefore, you function better and society functions better because society then has people with the qualification doing the job in which their expertise. And you screw up if you have the president of the country and he's not like a kshatriya. And you don't have proper Brahmins and priests or any of these functions. So socially it's disturbing, individually it's disturbing, because if you're not engaged according to your nature, you become frustrated. And that leads to the mode of ignorance more. In some cases, birth is the prominent factor in ascertaining a person's nature. In another case, association is the primary factor. So birth can be a major factor. Nature is formed by association, which begins from birth, so birth is certainly one cause that determines the development of nature. Indeed, nature develops from the moment of birth, but that does not mean that birth is the only cause of nature and eligibility for a particular type of work. Birth may cause, it's so Bhaktivinoda Thakur, so analytical. He's not saying, oh, it's not. Birth may cause, but it's not the only cause. Therefore, the Shastras prescribe that one must study a person's nature when assessing eligibility for work. Sridhamani, what is meant by this tattika shraddha, faith in the absolute truth? Vaishnavdas, tattika shraddha is pure-hearted faith in Bhagavan, which gives a spontaneous attempt to attain him. So when you have love, you have prema, you have bhava, you want to be with your beloved, you want to serve your beloved, you want to develop a relationship with your lover. But the most important thing, the underlying thing, is seva. And you want to attain the Lord to serve, to love. And Atattika Shraddha, unreal faith, is that which is based on erroneous conception of Bhagavan. It arises in an impure heart on seeing worldly activities, which give rise to self-interested endeavors rooted in pride, prestige, and worldly desires. Some Mahajans have described Tattika Shraddha as faith in the Shastra, Shastriya Shraddha. It is this tattika shraddha that is a cause of all eligibility for bhakti. Okay, I'm going to stop here. Are there any questions? Because somehow... What?
Unmute them.
Oh, I have to unmute you. Hi, Bo. Anybody like to say hello, ask a question? Any questions? Any questions?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Yeah, hi, Krishna.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify one point for myself. When you were actually from, I was glad you brought this up because I had this question from 2 weeks ago. When you were talking about the fact that, you know, there's only one human species.
Yeah.
And I think in this context, that is meaning that, you know, there isn't like a Brahmin species and a Shudra species. You know, there's...
He's saying it refers to, you know, like humans or cows. You know, that's what it refers to.
Because we always hear that there's 400,000 species of human beings.
No, there's not. Oh, 800,000, 400,000 species of human beings.
No, 400,000.
What?
400,000.
You said 400,000 species of humans. So your question is why... Yeah, different species. I'd have to see what that means. Maybe he's talking... What would be those differences of the 400,000 species? What would be the differences?
Yeah. I don't know. I've heard one time
the answer is I don't really... this is so amazing. I've heard this for so many years, but until you asked, I never really asked, what are the different 400,000 species of human beings? Because they can, you know, according to this, you can't interrelate between different species. So I don't know what the 400,000 species refer to. And the question is, and I don't understand what they refer to, and therefore I don't understand how, if they're, in this regard, it's considered there's still one jati or caste, or there are many, many different jatis, or the species there refer to something else besides jati. That's the question.
Yeah. I mean, I heard that it refers to different species among the human beings, refers to different levels of consciousness, maybe.
All right. Okay, but then it's still the same jati. So species and jati are not the same. That's all I can say. Okay, you have any other questions, Gail?
No, thanks.
Okay. Alex, what's your question?
What is the difference between a smart Brahmin and...
Okay. Alex asks, what's the difference between a smart Brahmin and a Brahmin? A smart Brahmin is someone who... is completely fixed on the rituals. You know, remember like Ira? You know, the father died, so they have to close all the thing, and then they're doing the naga, the snake thing, and you know, and all these rituals. And the smarta Brahmin is the importance, this is the rule.
As opposed to the law.
Yeah, opposed to the essence of it.
Right.
The smarta Brahmin is one who's really just focused on the rules rather than even the qualities of the Brahmin. Okay, any other questions? Anybody else like to say hello?
Uh,
people are trying, but they're not successful. And anybody else like to say something? Try to. You should learn from Gail the art of unmuting phones. She's expert. Anybody else like to say hello? Hey, we can answer now. Thank you. Hi, Bob. Bharati, hi, Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Why don't you go through your circles?